as a principle, okay? What is the definition of a principle? What's the definition of a principle? What's a principal? Someone in charge of a school. No. What's a principle? What's a principle? Okay, it's a truth that you live by. Something that is right and you know it's right and then you live by, okay? So we want to look at the application of dressing principles, okay? The Bible has many principles and we have gone through biblical modesty principles and we want to review them. And then during the, just very quickly reviewing them, then after we're going to have group work, okay? Group work. We're going to break out into small groups, okay? But this time the guys is the guys, ladies is the ladies, okay? And then we talk about... the guy is going to highlight certain things, the ladies as well, so that we can actually have a sharing of so that we can understand a little. Then later on, I'll give you handout number two, how we will actually apply that personally and within the local church, okay? So let's go through some of the modesty principle. Okay, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, we don't have to, well, we do have to turn there. Let's turn there, Genesis 3, 21. I think we just go through. Genesis 3:21, and I hope the children will also be going through. Let's read together this one, okay? In this review, if there's any question or if any things that you're not too sure with, it doesn't really kind of make sense, please highlight it, okay? Today is a day whereby you ask a lot of questions. Just ask whatever questions you have, okay? Genesis 3:21, let's read together, ready? One, two, go. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Let's just pray. Lord, we commit this, half an hour, 45 minutes into your hands. We are asking you, Lord, to open our eyes to these biblical modesty principles again. That God, we will live by your principles in this world. And Father, I pray that our heart will be in submission, Lord. Our heart will bow down to thy word. And Father, we will submit to what you have for us. Speak to us in a special way. And may we take a learning spirit tonight, that our Holy Spirit will be the teacher and help us to have these principles etched in our mind till the day we see you. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. We talk about the fact that clothing must cover the whole body. All right? Because God did that. God did that, okay? In whatever you wear, okay? Very important principle, clothing must cover the whole body. Clothing is a picture of salvation. After Adam and Eve sinned, they covered themselves with fig leaves. God says that is not enough. I need you to cover completely your shame. Your shame, all right? So number one principle, clothing must cover the whole body, okay? Whole body doesn't mean, my brother Johnny, then to cover my eyes, you know? I think some of the Muslim countries, they really cover, you can see the glasses popping out. Okay. I don't believe God actually did that, but modesty in covering your body, I think you all know what I mean, right? You know what the Bible means, right? Covering from the clavicle, you know the clavicle is a collarbone. Okay. Covering. I know there are a lot of low cuts nowadays. We need to be very careful that you actually cover it, all right? Because it's very suggestive, all right? Not the way to below the knee. Okay, you need to cover that, okay? After we look at practical application, just review principles now. Let's look at Genesis chapter 9, next one. Clothing must cover the whole body. Number two, we must take this issue of modesty seriously because God does. Okay, in Genesis chapter 9, verse 20 to 25, we won't read the whole thing, but we know that Noah did a boo-boo. He was a husbandman. He planted a vineyard. He drank the wine. He got drunk. All right, and then he was uncovered. He was not totally uncovered, meaning that he still had his undergarments on. All right, but when the word uncovered had to do with nakedness. Okay, in verse 22, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. Okay, and at the end of that, in verse 25, Noah actually, there was a curse placed on Canaan, on Ham, for what he did. All right, so God takes a serious view to nakedness. The world doesn't today. The world doesn't take a serious view to nakedness today. Okay, it is okay to not to dress appropriately. God says it is. A curse was placed of an entire... Ham actually represented not merely his own tribe, but his a whole continent has been cursed because of this problem, okay? So God takes it seriously. Modesty is a serious problem in the sight of God. So we must take it seriously too. Okay, the next one, turn to Exodus 28. Exodus 28, the next principle. We must be modest in our dressing before the Lord as his people. Okay, that's a principle. Exodus 28. And verse 40 to 43. This is actually a... Okay, these are the dressing of the priest, okay, which God commanded them to do. Commanded them to make. Okay, in verse 40, and for Aaron's son, thou shalt make coats, thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. Thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shall anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach, and they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons. And when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die, it shall be a statue forever unto him and his seed forever. God actually prescribed dressing standards for the priest. Okay? And as a result, God actually says, if you actually don't follow this, you have sinned. You will bear the iniquity. And we make the spiritual reference for us. God has called us, after we become Christian, to be priests unto God. We can study the Bible, we can interpret it before God, and we are able to go to God in prayer. And so, our dressing, some people may say, well, Brother Johnny, that's just a spiritual aspect. It has to do also with the outward. Very important, how we dress outwardly actually shows what's inward. Would you agree with that? How we dress outwardly ultimately reflects what's on the inside. Okay, some people, when I was in Australia, there was this Australian, it was summertime, okay, in summertime, so he came to, his job is actually, his job is about 4 a.m. in the morning, and he has to go to the beaches, and his job is to catch those illegal fishermen. What do you call that kind of people? Beach patrol or something like that. His goal is to catch, huh? A ranger, some sort of like a park ranger or what. And he usually catches people who go illegally pluck those abalone. So he got three options. Throw it away. He's not supposed to sell it. Throw it away. He can give it to his friend. So I'm the only Singaporean in the church. He gave me all the abalones. These are the green-lipped ones. 1 kilo, $120. And of course, it was a little bit small. And a lot of the abalone community has been destroyed by these poachers. So their job is trying to catch them before they actually... because once you pull out, the abalone dies, okay, from the place of... Because they have to feed on the corals or something. I don't know all the... But it's just interesting. But he came into church in his park ranger. You know? Yeah, those people who've been to Australia, the bus driver wear shorts, right? Remember? You remember the bus drivers wear shorts? You remember or not? Huh? You remember? No. Anyway, not like our last time policemen wear shorts, you know, in Singapore, like Hong Kong police. They really, his shirt is not short. His shirt is actually here. And he walked to church, and he said, "Hi, Pastor, how are you?" I said, "Why are you dressed like that?" "No, Pastor, it's a hot summer day, you know. I mean, it's Australia, it's hot, so you have to dress appropriately." The pastor said, "For church? Yeah, why not, you know?" And when he said, I said, "No, that's not the way to dress. You know, when you dress like that, you know what that is? You dress appropriate for the situation. It's hot day, so I come to church. Would you wear shorts to come to church? Why don't you try on Sunday? Don't you wear shorts to church on Sundays? What is that when a person thinks like that? Oh, it's hot day, so oh, I should be wearing shorts. What? What's that?
What's that?
Sorry? It's a practical... Huh? It's something which I've been trying very hard to nail down. It is a whole area of pragmatism. The end justifies the means. At the expense of even removing what we know to be right and true. Okay, I've been studying a lot in this whole area, and I realized that, you know, many churches, in fact, many Christian churches are being infected with a pragmatic way of making decisions that is anti-scriptural, unbiblical, and ultimately it will become a practical church, so much to the point that we'll do those two things based on the practical, but no longer based on God's principles. Okay, so that's something that we need to take note of. In this situation, God told the priest, you are to dress in a certain way, otherwise you have iniquity, you have sin. Okay? So we must be modest in our dressing before the Lord as his people. These are biblical principles. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 22:5, the next principle. There must be a what? Distinction between male and female dressing? There must be a clear distinction between male and female dressing. After we'll apply that, all right, together. Okay, let's read that. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. Okay, let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. It's interesting because many people will argue, but Brother Johnny, this is the New Testament, you know. We're under the New Testament grace, okay? The problem with that is God put this cross-dressing in the same category as witchcraft. It's an abomination. Abomination is punishable by death. Okay? Punishable by death. And we actually talk about the unisex movement and how things, the world seems to want to cross over. Okay? The ladies wearing the men's clothing. Okay? And society initially responded, but later on, it's always the case. Initially, whenever there's a change against the norm, there will always be an initial reaction. But after that, kind of settle down and it's kind of just fizzle out. And, just kind of, you know, just accept it as reality. God doesn't. Because he doesn't change in his standard. God doesn't accept that as reality. You know, one thing you need to understand about God, he is black and white. There is no gray area with God. When he looks at a situation, we see gray areas, he doesn't. And so for us, it's very important to stay as closely to him as possible, so that we will always be doing the right thing. Does that make sense? In the area of pragmatism, in the area of trying to think through, we need to be careful. God's principles always come first, because God's principles many times will cut through what we think. For example, in this situation, many people, in fact, many churches, many pastors, many people around the world will say, you cannot do that anymore. You cannot preach this. You know why? We are desensitized. But God still says it's an abomination unto the Lord. It's punishable by death. So that means in God's mind, it's a sin. Serious enough. You know what that tells? What does it tell you? If God says something is punishable by death, what does it tell you about God's thinking on this issue? Is it? Some people have classified this under a ceremonial law. Would it be ceremonial law that is to be punishable by death? Does it make sense? That means it's not in the category of ceremony, it's in the category of moral. It's a moral thing with God. And God cannot stand because he's a holy God. And that's why he imposes the death penalty on abominable practices. Okay, so that's something that we have to take note of. Any questions? Okay, so in this situation, we need to be very careful. There must be a clear distinction between male and female dressing. Okay, after this, we talk about what, Brother Johnny, what is male dressing, what is female dressing. Okay, we more or less have talked about it. I'll just make it category: the pants for men, skirts for the ladies. Okay, and people will probably challenge. Many churches have been challenged on that. And I was reading a lot of reading into it to make sure that I'm very clear, because let's put it this way, no sense bringing out an issue if it breaks up unity, right? Unless it's the truth. Does that make sense? No sense for us to deal with something from God's perspective and then break up the church unless God actually mentions that clearly. In terms of breaches, in terms of one lady actually wrote that pants have been known to be men's clothing for the last 5,950 years. It's only in the last half a century that it began to take off as unisex type of dressing. So have we gone wrong? No. Okay, so all along, like, you go, one very clear argument is actually if you go toilets of any country, you don't even know how to read. Right? There's a picture with a man and a picture of a lady, and you know it's a lady because of her skirt. So there's actually a symbolic representation for that as well. So it's very clear as far as God is concerned as well. Okay, God specifically make breeches for men, never mentioned in the Bible for ladies as well. Okay, so we'll talk about the practical implications of that later. All right, the next one is we need to understand dressing sense. Let's turn to Proverbs 7. Okay, we're just reviewing some of the things we've gone through. Proverbs chapter 7. Okay, I'm sure there'll be thousands of questions that come up. Proverbs 7, verse 10 and 11. Okay, let's read there. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 10 and 11. Let's read there. Ready? 1, 2, go. And behold, there met him a woman with an attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Okay, the Bible talks about a woman with the attire of a harlot. Okay, so how do you know she's a harlot? How do you know she's a lady of immoral values? By the clothing she wears. By the clothing she wears. Okay, and that's very telling. All right, and it makes me cringe when you know, young children, especially at those CC events, you know, they'll wear halter tops, you know, like spaghetti strap for the little girls, and they would dance in their two-piece bikini, whatever, for girls. Because people think they're very cute and all that kind of thing, right? All right, that's preparation for immorality. You need to be very careful. Okay, so our dressing sends a message. Okay, I wrote there, pants on ladies sends what kind of message? Equality between the gender. Okay, there is equality, but we have different roles. Okay, the next one is mini skirts. What kind of message are we sending? For mini skirts, what kind of message are we sending? Okay, for ministers, we're sending the message of morality, being free, loose morals. The Christians ought not to have that kind of message that they send. Tight-fitting clothing, exposure. One thing to share with you before, one thing to show. You know, when I mention this to you, I'm not just mentioning it passing. There's a lot of background reading, background things that go into this, okay? Tight-fitting clothing is a very, very commonplace thing today. Slim ladies will want to look slim. They really wear until, like, don't know, the size is, you know, you got, it's really body hugging. Basically, it's just covering the figure of the body, but still very much exposing, not much revealing parts of the body that should be covered. Okay? So we need to be very careful. Dressing does send a message. Okay? The next one. In Exodus, Isaiah 47, verse 2. Isaiah 47, verse 2. As you have these verses, keep it and reflect on it. Isaiah 47, verse 2. I'll just read it from verse 2 onwards. I explained the context already. Take the millstones and grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers, thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. Okay, here the context once again is about the children of Israel. No, not children of Israel. God's judgment on Babylon. The Babylonians were supposed to be very luxurious. The ladies had the maids and all that to take care of them. But God says, I'm going to judge Babylon, and one of the judgments is the ladies who have very much luxurious lifestyle will be taken across rivers, and they will have to pull up their, they will have to make bare the legs because they have long skirts, right? They got to pull up to their thighs. Why? Because they don't want to make their clothing wet. And God says, I will uncover your nakedness. Meaning what? Once you pull up, it's actually uncovering of the nakedness for the ladies there already. Okay? So in God's mind, the thigh, uncovering of the thigh, especially, is actually a indication of nakedness to God. Does that make sense? Okay, from this context. And so, thighs of male and females must be covered because even the breeches for men has to go down to the knees. Okay? God says to cover the nakedness because exposure of the thigh is nakedness as far as God is concerned. Does it make sense? Any questions? Any stones to throw? Any eggs? Feel free. Don't worry because... don't worry. But I'm showing you from Scripture. Okay? It's very important to understand that. All right? So, thighs of male and females must be covered because exposure of the thigh is nakedness to God. Okay? Okay, the next one is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Okay, you can start writing down your questions if you have, all right? Because in your group work, you will actually also be asked to write down some questions that you feel, hey, I don't understand this. How are you going to apply in this situation? Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. In the context of 9 and 10, always start with verse 8. Always start with verse 8. Now, thinking through this very, very hard in terms of the practical application for us in the area of dressing. In verse 8, okay, the Bible says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Paul says, I will, this is my decision, under the inspiration of God, that all of you men, when you pray, you should be lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Holy hands means what? Not lifting up our hands in praise and worship. Holy hands means when you praise God, it must be with a holy lifestyle. All right? It must be with a holy lifestyle. Without wrath, okay, that means you have no bitterness in your heart, no anger against someone, and also without doubting, okay, with faith. And then in verse 9, in the same manner, ladies, okay, that's what Paul says. Firstly, men, when you praise and when you worship God, make sure your life is right with God. Make sure there is nothing to block you from God. In verse 9, in the same manner, you know, the more I read it, the more I study, the more I begin to recognize what Paul is saying. In the same manner, the woman adorn themselves in modest apparel. That's literal. That is actually literal. Means, as men, men don't have a problem with modest apparel because it doesn't affect someone else. Okay, so men, I want your heart to be right as you worship God. Make sure you're lifting up holy hands. But ladies, as you worship God, you need to be in modest apparel. The word modest apparel literally means long flowing robes, okay? Which is representative of a heart of submission in worship to God. Does that make sense? Okay? So that's why it is important for us when we come for worship to be in dresses or skirts because it represents your heart of submission to God. Not Ambassador Baptist Church say so. Alright? It's very important for us to understand it's not a standard imposed by ABC. But if we understand the context of Scripture, you will find that God actually says when you come in worship the Lord, not just in church, but you know every time your life is a worship to God everywhere you go. Okay, so in the presence of God, you must be in modest apparel. Okay, so dresses must reflect. Dresses must reflect godliness, and based on 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, it must be long, covered down to the knee and below. That's what the Bible says here. Aikata stole. All right, that simply means modest apparel. Long flowing robes that's worn by kings and royalties. Okay, like the Queen of England, like the train that they have. That's what it means. Okay, kata stole in the Greek. Okay, it must be long down, covered to the knees and below. We do have a few ladies say, but Brother Johnny, I look very short leh. I wear. It's important for us to take that and say, okay, Lord, I want to be acceptable before you, all right, which is actually a very important thing. That's the difference when we talk about obeying Scripture. We put it before the Lord and say, God, this is what I want. But if that's what you want, Lord, I will follow what you want. Okay, so must be long, covered down to the knees and below. We do not dress to stand out. Okay, but we must be shamefaced when we dressed. Okay, you know, it's shamefacedness. All right, in other words, we don't dress to point to ourselves. You know, have you seen ladies with big earrings? You know, have you been guys with big earrings? Okay, you have to. All right, it's not merely a girl's problem, it's a guy's problem as well. There's this. How many of you know Tom Jones? You know, Tom Jones is big. You know Tom Jones? This pop rock singer. And he would actually have this long thing here. And it's this big cross. It's really this gigantic cross here. Because he says he feels he's a Christian. Okay, he do sing some of the Christian songs and all that as well. But it's dressing to stand out. Okay, and we mustn't dress to stand out even as a church. You know why? If you come to church and you dress stand out, you'll be a center of attraction, not God. God needs to be the center of attraction. Okay, doesn't mean we can't be neat. Doesn't mean we cannot be. Doesn't mean, all right, you don't dress nicely, presentably. Maybe you have a favorite type of. There's nothing wrong with dressing, but when you think before the Lord, Lord, am I drawing attention to myself? Okay, very important. Principle. If you really are concerned, actually ask another lady, see, if I dress this way, would I be drawing attention to myself? Okay? Guys as well. Alright? Have you seen guys with you know, their guy's shirt with half is one color, another half another color? Have you seen that kind of shirt before? Different color, different. It causes people to take a second look, kind of dressing, you know. We need to be very careful about that kind of dressing. I don't believe it's wrong in itself. It becomes unwise because the implication, the consequences is that people look more at you. And there's always that thing about, you know what fashion is about? Fashion is about always pointing to yourself. You need to be careful. Nothing wrong with using some of the accessories and all that. But when it comes to the point whereby we are so much into it, I think I was just, remember last week I talked about worldliness, 2 weeks ago I talked about worldliness, right? Okay, remember that this guy in the morning paper said, I first for iPhone, you know, that he would queue 16 hours. In America, I think they queue 3 days or something, and they're just in the cold and all that, just for an iPhone. Would you do that? Joseph, would you do that? Queue 3 days for iPhone? Nothing wrong with iPhone, but would you do that? 3 days. People have queued 3 nights for NDP tickets, right? That's for Singaporean. But anyway, we need to be careful. We need to be careful. Some people go to an extent. We need to be careful, okay? Mustn't point attention to ourselves. We are not to dress, to stand out, but we must be shamefaced when we dress. In other words, we dress in a way that we're concerned that we might offend someone else, okay? In other words, we must not be extravagant in our dressing, makeup, or hairdo. Because when we come before the Lord, our goal is to worship Him and not to make ourselves stand out. All right, very quickly, the next one. Our lives must be dressed up with a pattern of good works, okay? We'll look at first Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. But which becometh woman professing godliness with good works, okay? We are not to dress in, we're dressed, adorn ourselves in modest apparel in verse 9, shamefaced and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but with good works. In other words, our worship to God, our adornment must be good works, okay? Every one of us should have good works always in our lives, okay? The last one is, our dressing mustn't stumble a brother or a sister, okay? In any way, shape, or form. All right. Once it stumbles someone else, it is sin. 1 Corinthians 8:12 is very clear on that. All right. Any questions? Any questions? All right. What we're going to do is we're actually going to break out into groups. Okay. Just small groups. Small groups. And we're going to discuss two questions. Okay. Maybe you can divide first the guys into one group. Maybe the guys here one group, that guys one group. The ladies here one group, and the ladies here one group also. Or maybe two groups. Can it be all teens one? The there must be a group male adult in each group. Okay, can you just divide first the guys here? I think the ladies here may have to divide into two groups. I think Yeah, because it's quite a big group. Okay. Then after that, make sure you have adults, okay, in your group. Okay, the first question I would like the guys to think about. I'm just thinking how best to actually do this so that they'll be maintaining some sense of morality. Yeah. Probably just in your groups, for the guys and the ladies, what would you, I want you to write down in the group they discuss, what would you consider, not just in the church setting, but just general setting, what guys would you consider would be immodest dressing? And what does ladies do you think is immodest dressing for both men, male and female? Okay? Does that make sense? What do you consider to be immodest dressing, immodest dressing? Okay, example, again, example. Miniskirt, is it modest dressing or immodest dressing? Then you just write down. Okay, so you just have to write down the latest fashion, whatever that you know today, just write it down. Leotards, for example. No leotards? Those aerobic exercises they wear, like they very very tight one. Swimming suit, swimming trunks, singlet, etc. Long dresses. What would you consider immodest dressing? Number one, okay. The second question is, write down as many questions as you have about dressing so that we can discuss them. All right, within your group. So we give you 5 minutes, okay? So we only have 4 groups. You'll be having the mics. You want me to pass? Okay. We all just listen. If you have similar ones, you just kind of, you know, the game that you play, you just cross out. What's the game now? I don't know. Okay. Would be immodest clothing? Okay. What would be immodest clothing? From your group's perspective, for men. Immodest clothing for men. No, your group.
Okay, immodest clothing. See-through clothes, thin clothing, loose shirts, those that show the shoulder, sleeveless, tight pants, shorts, short skirts.
Okay, short skirt will be for the ladies. Because I mentioned for men only, but never mind. Okay.
We didn't discuss men, sorry. We didn't discuss women.
Okay.
So that was for women.
For ladies, for ladies. Okay. So, how about this group? This group? No lah. For the immodest clothing for men. Did you discuss men? Yeah.
For men, we discuss.
You discuss for ladies only. Yeah.
Hello.
Can you just speak.
Hello.
Yeah. Or for ladies, you're only for ladies. Okay. For ladies. Okay.
For ladies. I think some standards one. Like the. Very, very short and then see-through, loose clothing.
Okay. Any
what else? What else I mention? Hing Kwang, you say a lot. Generally what you mentioned just now. But I think we have a couple of interesting questions.
Okay. We'll do the questions later.
What's your question again?
We'll do the question later. We'll finish this part first. Okay, and so shorts, see through this group.
Ladies.
Okay, ladies, I don't know why you want to be so hard on ladies.
Okay,
so.
Immodest dressing, like hot pants.
What's hot pants?
Very short shorts.
Very short shorts. Hot pants are very short shorts. Basically jeans that you cut about. Jeans you cut until one pin.
Dresses with straps.
Dresses with straps. Okay, what, showing the shoulders?
Yeah. Tight fitting, body hugging.
Tight fitting, body hugging.
Low neckline.
Low necklines.
See-through.
See-through.
Mini skirts.
Mini skirts.
Sleeveless.
Sleeveless skirts.
No sleeves. Think
okay.
Some
tube, but no straps at all. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Think okay. Pass to Sir Ellison and the group. Oh. Careful, don't drop. Okay, come.
It's all been mentioned.
All been mentioned, lah. Okay.
Swimsuit is mentioned, right?
Swimsuit, no, it's not mentioned. Swimsuits. Yeah. Okay.
As in two piece that. That's
two piece, okay. Okay. Bajun's group. No, no one said for men. Only ladies are so sad.
Okay, we have four ladies. Mini skirt. Short shorts. Tights. Loose shirts, tube, spaghetti, stretchable jeans.
What jeans? Skinny jeans, okay.
Yeah. Night dress.
Night dress.
Bare back.
Okay, bare back, okay. Low back line.
Yeah. For men, we have short, tight pants, cycling short without outer, any other shorts.
Okay. Okay. Any others? Any others? Okay. Low cut what? Low cut jeans is what? 3/4 jeans ah. Low cut jeans. Low cut jeans means what? The oh, wearing below waist. Ah, okay. There's actually an immoral reason for that. But okay, yeah. So that one, that it's fashionable lah. But there's actually a reason for that, which I won't mention here. It's actually very immoral. But there's a reason for that, and we should actually stay away from that. Okay. Remember, the principle is, more covering the better. Okay. All right. So, but I think generally, I think I was hoping for more, a bit more for guys as well. I think it looks like the guy, it's not, although the Bible did talk about more dressing related to ladies, but I think generally we've covered a lot of this, is immodest clothing, and we need to be careful about covering ourselves. Okay? We did mention about pants also on ladies, all right? And as far as that is concerned, there's been many controversy about that, but it actually, I'll just mention it as possible with no reflection on anyone. It actually breaks the principle in Deuteronomy 22:5. Okay, because all along we know pants has always been for males. Alright, and so over time it has kind of, the culture has shifted the target, meaning that it's more unisexed in terms of its dressing. So the question is whether it makes it right or wrong. But going back to the scriptures once again, men has always traditionally wore pants with breeches, okay, and ladies with the robes and the dresses, okay. And so, in terms of principle, it's not what Brother Johnny wants, but that's what the Bible says. And so, that's something that even as a church, we need to slowly ask God to help us to surrender even to that. All right, okay. So, any questions? Okay, now some questions. Maybe we from the end questions. Questions? Some questions that we... Okay, just listen, all right? Some, okay, this last part it's just for us to have the opportunity to just share. Remember, we're in the spirit of learning, what God wants us to do. Okay, for questions?
Yeah, the question is, when there are some activities that are quite difficult to execute when you are wearing...
Example?
For example, culottes. Like, for example, you try to cycle with culottes. It's quite hard to manage that. So then we might have to wear pants or...
Okay, is it... Okay. Have you tried before, cycling with culottes?
Tried, and then it fell, and it was quite dangerous, actually, because the clothing actually gets caught with the gears, that part. So it's very dangerous.
Okay, yeah. So what should we do? What is who say? Give us cycling. So how? No. This is an honest question, and that was an honest answer. But okay. So if you wear culottes, you cycle, you fall down. So how? Motorized bicycle. Okay, I know where you're coming from. It's not just with cycling, it's also with mountain climbing, rock climbing, with different things. The answer I will give is, number one, we do not break God's principle because of situation. Because if we do, we go into pragmatism, which means that we are dishonoring God's word to follow the situation. Okay? So which means that we have to think always and see how we can get around this. Still cycle, enjoy ourselves, and still keep God's law. Because God's law cannot be broken without consequences. We must understand this. When we don't understand this, we will slip into pragmatic reasoning, and we no longer honor God as He should. Does that make sense? And some people have actually given the answer, give up cycling. Because if it's honoring God's law more important than cycling? I mean, I know. But I spoke to Brother Soh about that as well. You know, Brother Soh mentioned that, have you seen some of these China ladies, what kind of things they wear? It's not the kind of pants as we would thin pants, it's those Samsung women type of pants. It's actually very modest because it's not body hugging, it's actually quite thick. In other words, it doesn't expose, it doesn't like, it's not form fitting. It's like those Samsung women, I know Samsung women? Yeah, that kind of broad type of pants. I think Sister Elizabeth wore it one time. Yeah. What do you mean by broad pants? No, if you won't even see that, whether it's actually a lady, definitely a lady. You won't even know. I think my wife was actually at Sun Plaza, and we saw one dress. But actually, there's actually a separation, but you don't know, from far you cannot see that it's actually it actually has a separation in the middle, but it's actually formed as a skirt. Okay, so which is actually possible. Alright? Sorry? What?
We call it long
culottes. Long culottes. Yeah, long culottes, yeah. Does that answer your question? Cannot be like that. We need to understand. We have to put first principles first. That God, we're going to honor you at all costs. That's my heart. God, I always fall down if I wear skirts. For what? So what should I do? And God will give wisdom and creativity how to overcome that. Okay. Does that make sense? Any other questions? Okay, one thing is practical recreational activities that cannot be so-called modestly done. For example, girls may want to play soccer, for example. I've watched on the internet how ladies wear skirts. They say, I wear skirt and still play soccer. And it's very modest because your skirt's very long. The other one is actually using culottes, which are actually, we actually ordered already, it's on its way, coming probably 1 or 2 weeks time from the States. It's actually 1611. It's a kind of a clothing kind of a group of Christians. Their goal is actually to support churches who wants to do modest clothing. So we're going to have the first batch of 9 coming in, and we'll see how it goes, and we'll test on different things, you know. And then after that, we'll see who can sew. The key thing is actually to preserve the modesty that God wants us to preserve, and then after that, see how we can actually help one another to be modest, lah. In that sense, yeah. Oh, any questions? Any other questions from that group? Does it help? You try. Okay, it could be that your material may be too soft. It easily gets caught because there's a different type of material. What's the material? Terrapin, isn't it? No. Carbine. Gabardine. Gabardine is actually, what's the weight? About? It's about 500 grams, the whole thing. Not, it's not like, wow, run away heavy. It's actually weighted so that the goal is to keep it down. Yeah. So I think yours is the Japanese type one, right? It's a bit light. T-shirt material, cotton. Okay. So that means it's pretty light. Okay. Question? Any other questions for the group? This group?
A few questions. Something similar to Shaolin. Say if the job requires a woman to wear pants, how should she go about it? But I think, like I say, it's like in the first place, you probably got to get up the job. I think so. I mean, that's my own, I won't say honest, but just simple rationalizing between choosing God and choosing the job. Second question I had is those people who men, right, we go for surgery, then we have to wear robe. How is it considered immodest or bopian one?
Okay, in that's what I call this is an interesting one because I actually saw this argument about this as well. If you go for surgery, remember men originally was in robes before we actually got actually imposed preachers as well. Okay, so being in the being in the kind of situation, I don't think it's going to be seen because after going you knock out anyway, doctor's going to cut you up and all that kind of thing. So yes.
Primary school, the uniform for PE is all the same, boys or girls. So it's those very short. So like, what's the parents then? I mean, how should we like try to follow God's principle? If the school say like there's only one type of shorts, then it's shorts. So it's above the. Then what should we do?
What should we do? Honestly, what should we do? I know it's hard. What should we do? I'll give you a situation. It actually happened one time in secondary school. This is a honest Christian trying to live by, he will not wear shorts for PE, he wear long pants. He went all the way to MOE. Okay? I've learned already, make your stand. Because I'm just wearing, the Malays, the Muslims, wear according to their beliefs. What's wrong with us staying for a reason? We're not interfering with their class. We are actually more inconvenienced by wearing the longs. But we're still participating. It's not that we don't want to participate. So we're not trying to be audacious or being offensive, but I think we have to... Sorry, you're going to ask again. Okay. Firstly, then the parents have to determine in their heart whether or not is this acceptable before the Lord? If they feel that it's not, then go down the next level. If the school doesn't provide, then we have to provide ourselves. I don't see any problem. Personally, I'm not MOE, but personally, I don't see any problem with the girls actually wearing culottes for PE. Unless the teachers, I don't know, would the teachers make a fuss? They will make a fuss. No, it's not that. I mean, it's a very clear reason, and I think somewhere along the line, that's what Daniel did. That's what I'm saying. That's what Daniel did. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did.
If from young it's like that, I think when you grow up, you won't see a problem.
Yeah. I know it's not easy because we are in a secular society, but my contention is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, at the expense of their life, chose to obey God. And if we are to be Bible believers in a secular society, that's exactly what they did, and that's exactly what we need to do. Okay, I was prepared to go to prison because if MOE don't allow the deferral for, say, I'll just go to prison. I'm going to prison because MOE has taken away my decision as a parent to decide for my daughter. The daughter is mine, it's not MOE's. I mean, I'll just make it as plainly as that. Okay? I'm not here to make sure you go against the government. I'm not. These are all the situations that happen. Like Daniel was very tactful in dealing with the eunuch. Say, hey, yeah, you don't eat, you lose weight, then hi, I lose my head, no. And Daniel said, look, maybe just 10-day test, and we'll just take vegetable and water. If we really feel very sickly, okay, fine, we give in. And that's where 10 days they probably prayed and asked God to help them overcome. One of the hardest things, that's why in Singaporean society, it's not easy already to do that. And the situation that I mentioned to you, that this person actually went all the way to even the parents back. Why don't you just listen? You know? But he believed very much that it was God's will. So, my contention from the scriptures, Joseph didn't give in, Daniel didn't give in, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego didn't give in, John the Baptist didn't give in, and we have to be Bible believers. I'm praying for God to give us that grace to say, Lord, I will then have to pray, God, give me wisdom to honor your law, your word, to show that I love you. I'll give you an example. If I love my wife, right, and people ask me to do funny things, will I do it? No. You're my boss. No, I'm not going to do it. I love her so much. I'm not going to dishonor her by kissing another lady or that kind of thing. No way. Right? Why is it that it's so easy to give her our allegiance to our own God who died for us? So that's the spiritual content. This is a spiritual situation. But I know the practical aspect of how then to live it out. The family must be very... I'm not imposing. I'm saying that the family must be very clear in their own hearts. Is this God's will? If it is, then God give us grace to be able to think in a way that we'll be able to live out your law. You'll be surprised how God will bring people in to support your case. For Joanna's case, all the MOE say, when I say I'll go to prison, say we just need a letter. We just need a letter. And all they needed was a letter because the DGE, just based on recommendation, was signed. They are the ones who so-called decide. So once the letter went in, we played by their rules. In other words, we still gave them what is necessary. And so the letter, and we're thankful, God sent a consultant free of charge to speak to Joanna, draft out our letter. She's a Christian. We sent it up. Within 2 days, it was approved already. God will intervene on. But we must be willing to honor the Lord first. Does that make sense? I know these are all the practical things, and I would expect this to come up. But what I'm saying is that the parent need to determine in their heart whether or not to follow God. Okay? And sometimes it's hard. I know sometimes we fall. And for those parents who may have made decisions the way not consistent with Scripture, I'm not condemning. It's just part of the growing process. Part of the growing process that you actually have to think through and say, Lord, following, what does it mean to follow you? Bottom line, what does it mean to follow you? And if following God means to break his law, that can't be it. And so that's something that even in a society like ours, especially a pagan society, I believe that's why God put Daniel in the Bible and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, if you look at the courage of Daniel, that he still opened his windows and prayed, and he knows his death sentence, but he still said, no, my God is more important to me. And you know, that's where the rubber meets the road. So I'm thankful that we're talking about this because God wants to probably work things out in our hearts to help us to realize maybe that's what it means to really follow Christ, taking that step of faith. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not imposing it as a... I can't say I'm not imposing. I mean, following God is something that I have as pastor to tell you. Because I know if you choose to follow God, the blessing is yours. You will grow. You will be able to stand firm. And if our children see us stand firm, they have a lot more opportunity, chance to stand firm next time. Because I've seen mommy done it. I know I can do it. Because if God is with mommy and daddy, God will be with me too. Okay? I know these are practical situations. It's very subtle sometimes. Very subtle. Okay? The teacher says it's compulsory. Must come on. I just learned from another teacher. I said, nothing is compulsory. And he's an MOE teacher as well. But I think it's how you, number one, our goal, remember, is not to offend unnecessarily. Understand the situation, okay? And then ask God for wisdom how to negotiate that so that you, as much as possible, keep. You know, there will be times that they said, no, you cannot. Just like this halfway house, I think, what, Helping Hands, is it? A hiding place or something. They said, no, I cannot take out that clause because that's the goal. As Singapore Land Authority said, you must take out the, that you will continue to preach the gospel. You take out that, we give you the place. He said, no, we cannot, that's our essence. And because of that, they lost the rented place, which they have been there for many, many, many years. And many people have been helped by it. But because the government says no, then that's the consequences. Daniel actually went through the consequences. He was thrown in the lions then. But guess what? Someone has said, God made the lions pussycats in the lion's den. God will not leave us where we stand for him. So that's something that probably as parents that we actually have to make a decision about. Any questions? Yeah. Does it make sense? Any other questions?
Two more. One is the, just now you mentioned about the Genesis 3:21 covering whole body. Uh-huh. And then come to a part, we know that it's supposed to cover the thigh. But then the isn't the Islamic way of dressing then correct if you apply the principle of whole body? Then, but then you say that it's okay, you know, it's like not too extreme. So the question is, who then decide what is modest or not modest? It's like, how much is too much, how much is too little? It's like, you button, unbutton, one button or two button, is it too much? So it becomes, where's
the standard? Yeah. Okay. How do you decide whether your hair is long or not? For guys, must not touch the collar, okay? Must touch the collar? No, not touch the collar. Let me check. No, touch the collar? No, okay, fine. Or not touch the collar, right? Okay, so what is long? There's one person who said this. The way we decide for guys, how long? The moment you have to ask, is my hair long? Go and get a haircut already. It's too long. When you actually ask yourself, is my hair very long? Once you have to ask, or if you ask someone, is my hair long? If you have to ask someone, that means you're not sure, go and get a haircut already. Because you're probably not sure of yourself anymore. So it's time to go for a haircut, okay? For the clothing itself, who decides? In terms of the covering, it's covered from neck, all right? In terms of covering all the way to the ankles. In terms of the, if you look at the covering, the only evidence we have on that is actually from the early days, how they wore. The Bedouin shepherds, the people in the Middle Eastern countries, they literally covered. Even the Chinese, they covered everything, males and females. Okay, probably some practicalities come out, you know, they have to work and so they get in the way, they kind of shrink in a bit, less cloth maybe. But there were certain people who would make for ladies, for example, once, you know, the collarbones, it should be covered. Okay, the key thing is modesty. If people can see what's inside, time to cover up more. That would be the principle. Because the goal is to cover. And so those areas of your body not supposed to be seen should be covered. Okay, the Bible is very clear about going to the thighs. Okay, the Bible is very clear about that. So going to the thighs, then we just stay with the biblical principle. That's why we would say under the thighs. Okay, just under the kneecap. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the only evidence we have is that in terms of how much, if you don't really see the covering like the Chinese in the past, and I think I showed you before the very, very first introduction whereby historically speaking, everyone covered themselves in all cultures. All cultures. It's only towards the 1800s people begin to loosen up a bit. Yeah. Those people, no, they don't cover themselves. But it's interesting, when Christianity influence go in, they begin to cover themselves. Because they have no sense of shame. They have no sense of shame. There's no sense of civilization. They kill, they're selfish, whatever. Yeah. Any more questions on that? One last one.
Bear with me. Last time, the old days, men does wear skirt, did wear skirt, right?
Okay.
Last time, the old days, King David's time, what is it? Did they
ropes.
Ropes, right?
Ropes, yes.
Is it called ropes or skirt?
Ropes.
Ropes. So yes. Is the pants is still inside, I mean, underneath.
Which is when you go to war, that's why the Bible talks about gird up the loins of your mind. You actually have to gird it up so that you can start running properly.
Clear, it's not a skirt.
No, it's a rope, yeah. Okay, we'll take maybe a few more minutes, all right, because of time. You have, huh?
Okay. I think sports has a very big area because if you remember the Olympics, right, even the ladies, our table tennis girls also, they wear shorts, like, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Badminton, don't talk about Tao Li.
Sure.
Even cyclists also, they are wearing lycra.
So what's the question?
No, the question is, faced with such situation, let's say you're being sent to a sports event, right?
Mm.
It's a very hard decision not to wear.
Question,
those
who
things.
Will be sent to the Olympics? Some will be, okay, let's be fair. Some may want to go to the Olympics. You have to make a decision, no? Eric Liddell sacrifices.
His pants. It's also, no, I think it's around that area.
That wasn't the point. Okay, never mind. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
His pants is actually above the knee. Because I see the pictures.
But I think if you were to see what you're mentioning about Tao Li and all this, it's already about 50, 60 years after the first time. The first time a lady wear shorts in tennis was in the 1930s. Okay, that was the very first one, so it breaks all kind of culture, and people were shocked at that as well. But before that, people were wearing... When you talk athletics as a big area, we need to see it in context, you know, because, number one, not many of us will go to the Olympic Games. Okay, so... I may not be a big... But even if we were to go there, then we have to make a decision about what we want to do. Really, we have to make a decision what to do. In my family, there's one who was... person who was supposed to join the symphonic choir said no because they're going to sing rock music, so he pulled himself out because he knows that he will dishonor God. So rather than have the prestige of being a symphonic choir, he said, no, I'm going to honor God, I'm not going to involve in that kind of songs. It's an opportunity to grow in this world, but to grow in this world means I have to break God's law. I'm not going to do it because God's law is higher. Does that make sense? So which means that if you really want a practical answer, if I'm chosen for the Olympic Games table tennis team and they ask me to wear shorts, I say, sorry, I wear my tracksuit and play. They say, no, cannot. I say, sorry, then I give you back my bet. That would be the, if we think it that way, if there's really no way out but to break God's law to do it, then behave like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Even the Muslims, they fight so hard to wear their headscarf for the Olympics. They fight like crazy. If they don't, they're not going to play. So they fought like crazy, and then they have finally got it.
Yeah. Richards, to cover the tie, right? Mm-hmm. So, when does it apply to anytime, everywhere? Anywhere?
Yes.
Even at home?
Yes. Because you're still in the presence of God.
Oh, then our Bermudas cannot wear it. Yeah.
No, I think this is a personal thing between you and God. I want to be careful and sensitive because some people are imposing what we should wear at home. But the principle, we need to live by principle over what God says. If what you can wear at home, you cannot wear here, the question is why? Okay? So which means that if I wear swimming suits at home, what I think is appropriate, that, then why is it inappropriate to come here? To wear swimsuit, of course, I cannot as pastor, but why is it not okay to wear shorts to church? The question is why? Is because, you see, our goal as a Christian is to be actually consistent with what God says in different areas. God doesn't change. He's everywhere. Maybe a bit more relaxed in terms of our clothing, but you know what? It still has a principle of modesty in terms of... In terms of Bermudas, if you go down to the tie, it's not a problem. Unless you're talking about shorts. Yeah.
I have a question. Because I understand the principle that there are mainly two reasons why we must take note of clothing. One is immodesty, where you want to prevent causing the other person to sin because they are tempted by what you wear. But there's another principle to this thing between the sexes. So I found that actually, looking at it, what makes a piece of clothing, whether is it for male or for female, whatever modifications that make it male or female, it's quite cultural. Like, you see a t-shirt. A man can wear a t-shirt, and a woman can wear a t-shirt. But it isn't seen that the t-shirt is a symbol of the unisex movement. And then, so that's what I'm asking, is that where do we draw the lines in which modifications tell between male and female? That's the first one. And the second question is, like, because I hear that, you know, we are so-called the culotte is a more preferable type of clothing, but in actuality, it's actually a pants that looks more like a skirt. So does it mean that with some modifications, as long as the appearance seems less unlike the clothing of a male person, does it make it more okay, or are we sticking to the principle?
I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I think the principle is modesty, definitely. There's a few principles embedded in there. Number one is actually the principle of modesty. People who want to wear long dresses to play soccer, obviously they can. All right. But however, if you fall down, there's a problem. Going to be a problem. Okay. However, if you actually stitched it such that you will prevent it from flaring out, it will help. Okay. That's one thing. Another one. It also, if you look at the culottes versus a pants, it actually flares out. So it actually helps people to distinguish between the gender. Okay. So actually, there's two embedding into one. So that's why the culotte actually came out, because it actually marries modesty. It also marries the fact that it actually shows a differentiation between the male and the female gender. Okay? And I understand that there's actually one more level we actually have to think about. It's when God sees it, based on what we've learned inside of God, is it actually appropriate for him to look upon? Okay, that's a third level that we need to observe. Okay, because ultimately we actually this one Brother Joshua's question about what about home? If you don't wear anything at home, so is it just me or? But we're still in the presence of God. And therefore, it behooves us to still maintain. I don't think you would do that, like, because you've got people at home as well. Okay. All right. Any final questions quickly? Appreciate those questions. These are honest to goodness questions. Yes. Pajamas. What kind of pajamas? Okay, this is a radical problem, because for ladies, I think ladies, sometimes you have those really long skirts. Like, you know, that's Tweety Bird, very long Tweety Bird. You know, night gown, okay? Okay. That one is good, but it's immodest, because if you sleep and you keep moving, someone in the body, brother comes, hey, wake up, it's happened before. So on that, you may want to wear the long pajama skirt plus something inside. We call it bloomers, lah. Okay, whereby it's a what you call that, a pajama pants, but overall it's actually what you call it, a long skirt. What do you call a long skirt? A gown or something, nightgown, but plus the bloomers, so that because when you sleep, your bloomers are not going to stay down unless you go and sew it to the bed or something, because you will move around, and for modesty, because your son might just come in. How? And then the whole nation will be cursed because of that. Okay, yeah. So I think these are practical things, and as a head of the house, it has happened. Then I actually had to tell my daughters, you have to actually wear a bloomers underneath, because otherwise you become immodest. If your brothers come in, they will be exposed unnecessarily. Right? Okay. Any questions? I'll just give you this. This is actually some questions for. I won't go through it, but please take, and then I've actually tried to put it in concrete form. Can I have one? Oh, actually, I have one. Okay, I'll just try to finish up with this. Sorry to keep you all so long. This will be an ongoing thing, okay? Hopefully, we'll teach it to the next generation. But I hope you all understand, most importantly, the principles behind that, okay? It's not Brother Johnny's one. Please don't misunderstand. This is, you can actually clearly be found in Scripture. What I've done here in the application part is actually to try to apply that, okay? So number one, I just read it. Am I modest? Does it reveal areas of my body I'm not supposed to reveal? Am I well covered, meaning not revealing in any way? This includes tight-fitting clothing. Am I dressing to attract attention to myself? Am I extravagant in my dressing, makeup, hairdo? Is it covered below my knees? Are my thighs covered? Okay, practical implications for men. T-shirts on, keep the bare bodies covered. All right, because there is nakedness before the Lord, okay, whether you're at home or not. This is actually an area that God actually mentions clearly. So we need to keep ourselves covered in Genesis 3:21. Pants below the knee, non-see-through material, non-swimming trunk, swimsuit, etc. Okay, ladies, blouse, thicker material, non-see-through, skirt, dresses, culottes below the knee. Only skirts and dresses and culottes for worship services specifically. And I was thinking through that. For worship service or any time the Word of God is preached, when we come before the presence of God, let's be modest apparel according to 1 Timothy 2:9 and 10. All right? After this, just because you wear and come in, you won't be condemned as a sinner. All right? I want us to understand the principle. I'm going to allow God to just work in our own hearts about that. Okay? This is something which is of the heart, and I wouldn't see you any less just because you're wearing a pants in the worship service. But I do want to actually highlight inconsistency, the 1 Timothy 2:9 and 10. Verse 2:9 and 10, when we come to the worship of the Lord, it will be appropriate to be in skirts and dresses, okay? Long flowing robes, by God's grace, if possible. Okay? Swimming costumes, tight-fitting ones are out as well. Okay? Am I wearing what pertains to the opposite gender? Okay, men, no skirts. For men, no skirts, no blouses, no hairbands, no earrings. Items that would suggest femininity. Long hair is also out. God is very clear. It is a shame for men to have long hair. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 8. Okay? So ladies, culotte pants, pants pertain to the men. Okay, therefore, essentially breaks the principle. All right, short hair, as we need to be careful also, because short hair is no longer a covering. Ladies, if you have short hair, it's no longer a covering. Your hair is given for you as a covering, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. All right, so we need to also follow that. What message am I sending unconsciously? Consciously, if I wear this, if I stumble a brother, am I governing my life a pattern of good works? Okay, so any final questions? Getting a bit late, but I appreciate the questions. If this is something that I believe as pastor, I need to teach, because we're going down a road in this modern society that anything goes, you know. Remember, pray for me, because I want to really think through and pray through pragmatism and its implication in modern-day churches, because it is so rampant. Because we are going more by situation ethics more than by biblical principles. And many Christians are making decisions based on situations rather than biblical principle. Like just on when Sister Charlene asked that one, it's a very hard thing, because like you go to school, the teacher say no, you have to only wear this, so what do you do? I don't have the problem, and some of you have. I want to be sensitive to that. It may be that the parent will actually make to take a step of faith and say no, I'm just going to go to the principal and say, well, this is our religious conviction, that we will still participate, the child will still participate, but I want her to be in culottes during the kind of thing, so that it becomes very clear. If the principal say, nah, this MOE regulation, no, I've learned, just make a stand. I think just like the Muslims in the Olympic Games, it was so hard to, why is it that for us, we are not able to do that? Okay, so remember, we're not standing up for ourselves, we're standing up for a God we love. Yeah. I believe in a modern day society like ours, we require a lot more thought into a lot of this. And ultimately, God must have the glory. We must be Christians. And if there's really any area that you're not too sure, do ask and then prayerfully seek the Lord. There are answers. And sometimes that it may be hard to actually say, Lord, if this is what you say, we'll do it. We need to go down that track. Because if we're truly Bible believers, that's what Jesus means, that if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow close to me. Right. So, any final questions? I don't think I'll take questions anymore. I think we'll stop already. Okay. But any, I wish more of the church members will be here so we can discuss this. I'm sure other people have other thoughts. On Sunday Bible Hour, please make time to come early. Come and deal with unity, and one of the things is unity in the biblical doctrines. Okay. So do make time. Tell your parents come early as a church. We want to know what biblical unity means so that we can actually be all one heart, one mind. All right. So, okay. So appreciate all the input. Okay, our goal here is not to judge anyone, it's to show what God says, and that's our goal is to follow Him. All right? Let's take some prayer requests very quickly. Let's pray for Brother Terry.